Taxes, health care, hurricane disaster relief, mass shootings, and gun control. Just a sampling of issues confronting the U.S. Congress this fall. And we talk about it all with Congressman David Young on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart.
I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond. Now celebrating more than 40 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, October 6th edition of Iowa Press. Here is David Yepsen.
As Congress reconvened after its annual August recess, a full docket awaited the Republican majority. But legislative failures on health care and uncertainty on potential tax reform has raised questions whether Congress and the Trump administration may be among the least productive in modern history. Add to those issues a series of devastating hurricanes on American soil, as well as this week's tragedy in Las Vegas. Well, Republican Congressman David Young is in his second term in the U.S. House, and he joins us to discuss those issues and many more. Welcome, Congressman.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you with you. And across the table, Kathy Obradovich is political columnist for the Des Moines Register, and Kay Henderson is news director at Radio Iowa.
Congressman David mentioned the tragedy in Las Vegas. There's been discussion in regards to gun policy. Do you think these bump stocks, which were used by the shooter to make his weapon essentially an automatic weapon, should be banned?
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And we recognize how horrific that act was and how horrendous of a morning we all woke up to. This was a pure act of evil. I don't know how you legislate evil away, but I wish we knew how to do it. It's like I wish we knew how to legislate sanity. But these bump stocks, no one had heard of these. At least I hadn't, and many of my colleagues hadn't heard of what a bump stock was until earlier this week. My understanding, it is basically a tool, an accessory, to make mm-hmm. a legal weapon into an illegal weapon. Mm-hmm. And so I'm reaching out with my colleagues to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to revisit their ruling in 2010 when they decided not to regulate these. And so I can't think of a good reason why these things are existing.
So will you depend on the ATF to make this ruling, or should Congress pass a bill and send it to the president for his signature?
Well, I think we should wait for a ruling, and I hope it's an expedited ruling, because I think there's some agreement here as to what this is, why is it even legal, and so I can't think of a reason why I wouldn't vote for it if it
came
down to the floor.
The House was supposed to vote on legislation to legalize silencers, but held off on that after this tragedy. What's your position on legalizing silencers?
Well, I think because of the situation that happened in Las Vegas, we need to be sensitive, and so I think it was appropriate to not take that up. But it's really suppressors. You want to make sure that for those who go to firing ranges and shoot off and sportsmen, that it doesn't silence a gun, but it suppresses sound by about 30% and protects hearing.
Okay. Are there other types of gun control regulations that you'd be willing to consider?
Well, I think we need to really take a look at our mental health system. Particularly, the conversation has shifted into state databases and whether or not they can be connected to see if folks within that database are somehow getting through to buying any kind of weapons when there's a background check. So I think we need to be concerning something like that.
So the mental health system, I mean, there's two aspects to that. One is connecting that to background checks, essentially. Yeah. But there's also a serious mental health crisis here in Iowa that we're facing. What do you think is the federal role in dealing with that aspect? It doesn't have to necessarily have something to do with guns, but but overall issues of mental health.
Kathy, wherever I go in the district, from Hamburg to Polk City, people are talking about mental health issues. I think Congress does have a role. Last Congress, we passed something called the 21st Century Cures Act. And with that, we provided a provision in there. It was a bill, and it was a bipartisan bill that I co-sponsored, that had to do with consolidating all the mental health programs within the departments and various agencies in the federal government, they weren't working so well. They weren't working well together. Consolidating those, streamlining those, and then getting those funds directly to the communities that need them. Aside from that, there also was a provision that allowed families to take more of a decision-making process in the mental health of their loved ones. It was usually left more up to a doctor or a provider to decide what to do and what not to do, but this gave family more input, and I think that's very important. So funding, but I think those decisions are best made at the local level because they're closest to the people.
Would you force insurance companies to cover mental health coverage in a greater way than they already are?
I'd have to take a look and see how they're covering them now, but I think there needs to be a component to mental health when it comes to insurance, absolutely. It affects all our families, our friends, our communities. I'm hearing about it more and more.
Iowa has been waiting for a ruling on a waiver dealing with its health insurance market. The individual healthcare market, as you know, under the Affordable Care Act, is dwindling with the possibility of having only one insurer left next year. The insurance commissioner came up with an idea for a stopgap to help 72,000 Iowans. The Washington Post was reporting just the other day that the president said, tell Iowa no on that waiver. What's your reaction to that, and do you feel like Iowa is going to end up in a corner here on health insurance?
Well, every state's almost in a corner on this right now. I'm hopeful that the administration will move sooner rather than later in making a decision. I hope it's favorable. Iowans, folks from different states, the leaders, the governors, the insurance commissioners, they need to have certain flexibilities and somewhat some autonomy in dealing with their populations, their different innovations in each state on how you deliver health care. But we need to act on this. Both sides of the aisle have come down to the conclusion that the current law is not stabilized and it's not working. And I think states have a role in this. And if the administration is balking on this for political expediency, I don't think that's right.
Not just balking. I mean, there's been allegations that the administration is actively undermining. And this, you know, if they were to deny this waiver, that might be an example of that. I mean, do you feel like that's going on?
I hope it's been a slow walk, and it's time to speed up. I hope it's not been undermined. It's time to act because people are suffering. Where do the 72,000 people in Iowa go if they don't have access to the individual insurance market?
When will Congress speed up action to reform or repeal the Affordable Care Act?
Well, as you know, we acted in
right.
the House.
Right. I think we all know what happened.
And in the Senate, of course, they don't have the votes. So they're pivoting to tax simplification, tax relief for Iowans and for Americans, maybe taking a time out over there in the Senate. But I think behind the scenes, there's some working groups, Republicans and Democrats working together, particularly Senator Patty Murray, a Democrat from Washington, and Lamar Alexander, Republican from Tennessee, they're starting to work on this. And it's going to have to be bipartisan because it's been proven that just a partisan approach, the votes aren't there.
Another issue that Iowans are concerned about is the renewable fuel standard. And there was a hue and cry from the industry a couple of weeks ago when the EPA administrator issued something that their interpretation is that it's going to roll back the RFS, particularly for biodiesel.
Yeah.
Are you concerned that the EPA is not going to follow through and set an RFS that meets the federal law?
Well, the EPA needs to back up their rhetoric with reality. And they've said, this administrator of the EPA, and the president of the United States has said as well, that he supports renewable fuels in a robust way. This needs to happen.
Do you consider what's been proposed robust?
No, it's not robust at all. It's lacking. It's lacking. It needs strengthened. And renewable fuels need to be at the table when it comes to our energy independence. That portfolio needs to be diverse across the board, wind, solar, biofuels, ethanol, geothermal, name it. It needs to be there.
Well, Congressman, is President Trump, let's lay it on the line, double-crossing Iowa here? I mean, he talked about in his campaign the renewable fuel standard. And yet federal agencies are slow-walking stuff. You've also got this health care thing that Kathy was talking about, that the president himself supposedly says, no, tell Iowa no. Now, at what point do Iowa voters say, were we misled by Donald Trump during his presidential campaign?
Well, I think the EPA administrator needs to be reminded of what the president said and needs to back that up. This is really hurtful to Iowa's agriculture economy. As you know, Iowa's agriculture income has been down 4 years in a row. This is a gut punch to it. So is the lack of trade. I'm worried about our agriculture economy, and this administration needs to speed up on some promises that they've talked about. One is a robust renewable fuel standard and biofuels, as well as a trade agenda. I'm not seeing a trade agenda.
Well, what about NAFTA? That's a part of the president's agenda. He wants to change that. Now, what will that do to Iowa?
I'm open to looking at the different titles of NAFTA and maybe making sure things are being enforced, that things can be tweaked on behalf of a better deal for America. Good, but to totally throw NAFTA away, I think, would be disastrous to the American economy and Iowa's economy.
If the president wants to dismantle those treaties, though, there's not that much Congress can do about it, right? I mean,
we have a pretty weak hand when it comes to that because it is because of that trade agreement. We had a weak hand as well when the president said that, you know, he doesn't like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that 11-country Pacific Rim deal. Well, okay, but he says he likes bipartisan or bilateral agreements. Great. Let's do it. Let's get on with it. Let's be competitive globally and help our economy.
Is there a way to mitigate some of that damage through tax reform? Or, you know, when you start looking at some of the tax implications for corporations, for example, that have moved jobs overseas, is there any way to deal with that? Or is that a totally different, separate issue?
Well, it may be a separate issue, but overall with the economy, it does matter and it is part of that. For Iowa, we really, for our agriculture economy and for other small manufacturers, we need markets, we need trade.
Well, let's talk in detail about the tax bill. Is it everything that you dreamt it would be? There are those who say it will raise taxes on something like 186,000 middle-class Iowa households.
Well, a lot of people are saying a lot of things about it right now, but it's important to note that there's no legislative language or actually. This is a blueprint. It's a framework. But I tell you this, everywhere I go in the 3rd District, people are talking about their taxes are too high. The middle class is getting socked right now. People are living pocketbook, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and their pocketbooks, they're rattling with change these days. And so it's very important that we get tax simplification done. It's tax relief. My priority is the middle class. It's the hardworking Iowans out there every day, some with two or three jobs out there. They are my priority.
Repealing the estate tax?
That's part of the framework.
You support it?
I do.
And what should the corporate tax rate be?
Well, that's the great debate. So for the job creators, you know, we have one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. It needs to come down. We talk about jobs moving overseas. Corporations, they're, you know, they have shareholders, right? And they want to make sure their shareholders are satisfied. And then at the same time, they see a corporate tax code that is sending jobs overseas and companies domiciling elsewhere. We need to keep those companies here and creating great paying jobs for our middle class.
You talk about the priority being the middle class, but with this tax plan, a lot of the analysis says that the wealthiest Americans are going to get a huge benefit out of this. I mean, is that, you know, is that really where you think Americans' priorities are?
Well, my priority is with the middle class and those, you know, climbing the economic ladder. There's been a lot of analysis, but I find it kind of interesting that they're analyzing something that doesn't even exist in legislative language yet. There's a lot of numbers and provisions that need to be plugged into this framework. What's different about this in healthcare, though, is we've got the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office of the President kind of on the same page with the framework and a better process. We didn't have that with healthcare, so I'm optimistic about it.
How much of this tax plan do you think should be paid for with spending cuts as opposed to just expecting growth to you know, pay for it and avoid deficits over time?
Well, we want to really simplify this, and so you're going to be getting rid of some tax provisions that will be saving. We have to be mindful of the price tag of this, but we also have to be mindful of the growth that we need. Can we take some short-term deficits for long-term gain and growth? I would like to see it deficit neutral, but I'm one of 435 people and zero of 100 in the Senate.
Congressman, well, we've got way too many questions and,
sure,
and not enough time, so I want to move on. CHIP program,
yeah.
Children's Health Program.
Yeah.
How did that was supposed to be renewed. Everybody was for it. How did that fall through the cracks?
Yeah. So September 30th, the CHIP program expired in Congress. That's the Children's Health Insurance Program. Fortunately, there's funds in there right now to go to about March of 2018. But myself and other colleagues have been banging on leadership to bring a reauthorization to the floor. The Senate acted as well. Our community health centers, funding for those expired September 30th as well. And I introduced a bill, bipartisan, to extend that. And so there's a lot of work to do, but these are the priorities that we need to tackle first. We're talking about people and their health.
And again, I don't know if I heard the answer to Dave's question. How does this kind of thing fall through the cracks? I mean, if it's that important to everybody.
It's important to me, and so it didn't fall through the cracks with me, so that's why we were watching this coming along and said we need to introduce a bill and get on leadership to get this going. A lot of issues, not necessarily the way I prioritize them.
One of the serious issues that faces the rest of the country, maybe more so in Iowa, but we're starting to see it also in Iowa, is the opioid crisis. Yeah. There was just a new study out of Princeton that said this is actually starting to affect the workforce now. You know, we hear a lot of discussion about it, not a lot of solutions or action. What do you recommend?
Well, recommend we find out where the illegal opioids are coming from and we stop them. Go down to Bridgewater. Take back Bridgewater is happening in the community down there. They are being overtaken by opioids, methamphetamines, and they're not going to take it. We've gotten to the point where the communities are having to stand up themselves and say stop.
What's the responsibility of the pharmaceutical industry?
Well, I think it's interesting. The debate has put some onus on them, and I think rightfully so, as well as providers, some of our doctors and those who prescribe. I think it's important to look at dosage amounts, a frequency of prescribing. There's been some oversight in that, and I think we need to gain some tighter control of that and find out who's doing this just for the sake of getting some reimbursements to make more money.
On another issue, Congressman, we all woke up recently to find our credit scores probably were hacked. Millions of Americans. What is Congress going to do, if anything, to prevent that Equifax fiasco from repeating itself?
Well, first of all, it affected so many Iowans, probably some of us here at the table. Cybersecurity needs to be taken seriously. This new game of warfare is something that we didn't imagine 20 years ago. Congress needs to act in conjunction, though, and take the lead with those private security groups out there and some of those other organizations in the private sector who really know how to tackle these issues, but thus far aren't, and they aren't taking it seriously.
So why did the IRS hire Equifax?
In a no-contract bid. I have no idea.
Should it be undone?
A lot of questions need to be asked, and they need to be dragged before a hearing and said, what in the world were you doing? Why would you do this? It just didn't make sense.
President Trump gave himself an A-plus for hurricane response to Puerto Rico. Do you think he deserves that grade? And what is Congress going to do to, first of all, make sure that there's enough resources for hurricane relief, but secondly, maybe to try to take some of the politics out of this?
Well, pretty horrific what happened, and then one after another, right, that we've seen three hurricanes so far. Congress has acted with emergency disaster assistance.
An initial amount.
Yeah, right? I supported that, and that was primarily for the first two hurricanes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now we will be taking up a package for Puerto Rico. You know, some people view Puerto Rico as, you know, not part of America. It's a territory, they're American citizens, and so we need to take care of our brothers and sisters wherever they are here in America when it comes to these problems.
The discussion of Puerto Rico's debt came up as a result of this, and the president had a throwaway remark about, you know, well, we got to wipe that out. And then they said, well, we're not really going to wipe out Puerto Rico's debt. But, you know, what is your view of that? What is the responsibility that the rest of the country has for dealing with that debt?
Well, I think the focus should be on the problem right now, and that is the horrendous situation that the hurricane caused, and deal with that on a human level. We can look at some of the past economic issues of Puerto Rico. We've dealt with them in some way, but we need to make sure that, you know, Puerto Rico, from here on out, that they need the help that we give them because of the hurricane. But when they're constructing a new economy, that they're doing it in a responsible way.
Another unresolved issue, the DACA program for immigrants who were brought into the country illegally when they were children.
Mm-hmm.
Would you vote for a package that provided funding for, quote unquote, the wall? Is that one of your must-do items?
Well, first of all, we're a very compassionate nation, and I have met many of these dreamers. They're in our communities, right? And all they know is America, right? And so we will be dealing with this issue. The president has kind of kicked it to Congress, where it should be, because that's who should be deciding this issue. By March, but hopefully we can get started sooner rather than later. But there's going to have to be, I think, some provisions on enforcement. I think the president and some other members are going to demand some action on the wall. It needs to be a smart wall, if you ask me, which means different areas, different sectors have different needs. In some areas, more Coast Guard, more fencing, more, you know, aerostats, you know, unmanned aerial vehicles kind of looking down. Bollards around the levee areas, and so different needs elsewhere, because if you do just a mile of the wall, it's about, what do they say, $25 million per mile. It's about $500,000 if you want to do it with in other ways that are just as effective.
Do you see any hope for a larger discussion about comprehensive immigration reform, or are we really just talking about taking this really piecemeal?
I think here in the beginning with the DACA fix, you're going to have some enforcement mechanisms on there to get people to vote for this. It's going to be a compromise piece. But no doubt that we need to look at many angles of our immigration laws, enforcement, you know, looking at our current system, why it is the way it is, looking at employment issues, E-Verify, things like that.
Speaking of employment issues, the Ferrara Candy Company in Creston closed. Are you confident that the federal government can help those displaced workers? And was that company targeted because it's a union shop?
I've been to Ferrara, and I have toured that plant, and I've met with the workers, and they're good people. And right now, they're in a desperate situation. I would put the call out to, you know, Iowa Economic Development folks and the governor and anyone else to say, hey, there's a facility down there that needs to be filled. It's a great place for manufacturing, and it's got the great, great workers here in the southwest part of the state. I did reach out to the Department of Labor to see if there is any assistance that could be made, and so we're waiting to hear back. But, you know, some of those folks need to be retrained with new skills, and I hope there's some support for that.
We're expected to hear just in the next few days from the president on pulling out of the Iran nuclear agreement and whether he will actually go forward with that. Do you think the U.S. should pull out of that agreement? And are you prepared to act with Congress then to increase sanctions?
Well, as you know, I opposed the Iran agreement when it came down, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. And I don't think that Iran has been fulfilling their obligations. Right now, the International Atomic Energy Administration has had some problems getting in to inspect to see whether or not they are complying, specifically around the nuclear capabilities angle. That's a big red flag for me if they're not letting us in to inspect. And so if he decertifies, what does that mean for Congress regarding further sanctions? That's going to be a big question that we may have.
What do you think Congress should do?
Wait for the president's decision and then go from there.
Congressman, we've got just a couple minutes left. We always like to talk politics on this program.
You, Dave?
you know, we talked, historically, the party holding the White House loses seats in Congress. That's been true for many cycles. We just mentioned three things that are causing you concern as an Iowa Republican, as an Iowan, but as an Iowa Republican: health care, renewable fuel standards, and trade. How big a hit do you think Republicans will take in Iowa during these midterm elections?
You know, I'm going to let that just take care of itself in campaigns and elections and just do what I can do. There's only so much you can control. I can be a great advocate for the district, be in every county every month, work in a bipartisan way, get laws passed. I've had two bills signed into law, and just be a happy warrior and go on with it. But I can't control what's the broader political climate
well,
out there.
Do you see yourself as being vulnerable? Democrats say you're on the short list. Do you see yourself as vulnerable? Do you feel like you're vulnerable?
I feel strong, and I'm running for re-election, and that's mostly because of the urging of folks in the 3rd District.
Dysfunctional may be a generous way to refer to Congress. Why ever would you run to return to that environment?
Because I love this district. These are incredible people I represent, and I want to be an advocate for them.
Do you want Donald Trump to come in and campaign for you?
I want what's best for the 3rd District.
Is that best?
I don't know.
Yeah.
If the president called up and said, we want to come campaign for you, what do you say? Come on, or why don't you go someplace else?
I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
So you do think that Trump could be a liability to Republicans?
No, I'm not saying that at all. You know, when it comes to his policies, I take a look at him and I look at the 3rd District. There's some things I agree with, some things I disagree with. And so, you know, the president is the president. He'll be responsible for himself. But he's not my boss. I don't answer to him. I don't answer to Paul Ryan or the House Majority Leader or Mitch McConnell in the Senate. I answer to the people of the 3rd District.
We have to leave it there. Congressman, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And thanks you for joining our latest edition of Iowa Press. We'll be back next week with another program, Friday night at 7:30 and Sunday at noon on our main IPTV channel, with a rebroadcast on our .3 World channel Saturday morning at 8:30. For all of us here at Iowa Public Television, I'm David Yepsen, and thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart. I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.